Lanes, and welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Let me point you to the right spot. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And we have Mandy Nicholson right there, all the way from UK. Brains, this woman is a visual artist like no other. She is producing a beautiful art auction to support a young girl's education. She's working in the feminine stage. She's working with women to really help them bring out their creative geniuses. She is developing a magnificent retreat in Scotland. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get there. And she's also very philanthropic. So help me welcome her to the edge today, Mandy Nicholson, right there. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm brilliant. How are you?
I'm fine. And I love that word brilliant because you absolutely are. I have been following you and you are doing such an amazing job online with your presence, you know, because it's not easy to be an auctioneer and sell anything online and art of all things, because art is so subjective.
Mm-hmm. You know, it really is.
You know, people just have to have a feel for it, or they have to absolutely love you. Like this one here on my wall right there. Mm-hmm. You know, a rainbow afro is not for everybody.
I love that, though. There's so much movement and so much depth in that. I love that type of art.
It is. So tell me, and my brains, a little bit more about you, Mandy.
Okay, so I am a creative genius consultant, artist and author. And I help creative women to launch, grow and scale their business and make more money. I have made it my mission to step into the creative space and make a difference and teach women how to do business, because there are so many, there's starving artist syndrome. There are so many women out there just not earning their worth from such an amazing talent. In fact, if I asked you to name me three famous female artists, you'd probably struggle.
Right. I'd have to really kind of think. And it depends on what genre of art, you know, visual arts or, you know, theater arts, costume. It just depends on where it is. But again, just kind of pulling a name out, it's not.
No. And then if I said name three really famous male artists, you'd give me that easily, you know. And that's the difference, isn't it, in the creative sector. It's very male dominated, like many sectors are. So I want to help women really step into their creative power, earn money and understand how to do business. I write about it, I paint it, and I lead by example, walk the walk.
You absolutely do. That's one of your pieces that you have up for auction right now.
That's my piece for the art auction. So I'm currently running an art auction to raise money for a little girl through Plan International, like you said, to give her an education. And that's the piece that I've donated, called The Pathway to Your Future Life. And 13 other artists on my network have donated their work and we are raising money. I like to make sure that I'm making a difference everywhere in the creative space.
There's a synergy and there's a theme among the artists. I'm seeing a lot of purple.
Yeah, there seems to be, doesn't there? It's, I think when you are doing something, like you said, for charity that's making a difference, there's that energy that connects. And it wasn't actually planned. It just ended up that way.
And some beautiful, beautiful works of art. So what was the inspiration for your piece behind you?
I work with an intuitive coach for myself. I think we always, as individuals, should be growing ourselves, growing our knowledge, growing our ability to tap into our subconscious. So I work with an intuitive coach. And in one of our sessions, I'd been reaching for my Scottish castle because this is on my vision board. I want to buy a Scottish castle to run creative retreats. And the pathway to the castle was up a road that was covered. There was a carpet and a canopy of violet bloom on the way to the castle. So that's where that piece came from. It's my journey.
It's absolutely amazing. I work with an ego coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is, it's hard to try to contextualize your ego. There's some components to it.
Yeah.
So working with an intuitive coach, I'm sure, are challenges too, because there's a lot of things that surface, but there's a lot of downloads that you get downloads of information. And so mine is through, you know, orating, poetry, and yours is through painting. And that's absolutely beautiful. But it's very hard for artists, visual artists, to make money. Because as we said, you know, art is very subjective. You know, either they love you or they love the work, but you don't necessarily are having the same train of thought of what you were thinking and what I was thinking when I purchased it. How do you help people really define that and put a price tag to it?
I think, first of all, you know, it's breaking the mold of what's expected in that creative space with visual artists. You know, it's expected that you'll produce a piece, put it in a gallery, allow the gallery to take their percentage. You know, there's a traditional route that artists tend to stick to. They're taught that way through college and university. They come out with that expectation. It runs through society in that that's how artists should behave. And actually, we have this whole World Wide Web and social media platforms now where you can build your brand and find your tribe. So for me, it's about thinking a bit differently, that art doesn't have to be just one income stream. It's one component of your area of genius. If you're an artist, you're also a teacher. You can teach other people how to be creative. And I think there are, for me, it's about asking these women to think differently about what it is they do. And what happens when they join me on my program, they usually evolve into multiple income streams, lots of different ways of making money and understanding their art differently. I definitely stick to what I paint, and I understand not everybody will like it. Some will hate it. That's okay. They're not my people.
Right. They're not. And sometimes they'll purchase it because they had a conversation around it.
Yeah.
How did art find you?
It was all I ever wanted to do from being a little girl. I was painting on the walls, unfortunately, for my mother with her lipstick. I remember she told me at 2 years old, she caught me on the hallway drawing in lipstick up the newly papered walls. So it started very early on, and I went off to art college and did a degree, but then couldn't find a job in the creative space. So I adapted. And I got a job in retail, and I ended up in a 20-year career that was nothing to do with creativity. So I left it behind, which is devastating for creatives, but lots of them do it.
Yeah, they do, because they don't know how to monetize it.
No, I didn't. So, they didn't teach me.
So give us a couple ideas. Give us a couple strategies for a sculptor or a painter.
I think it's... For me, I've got on my, let's use who I've got, I'm working with at the moment. I've got a mosaic artist working with me at the moment and an abstract artist and author. And we are looking at different routes. With a mosaic artist, they're creating a physical product, but there are lots of different types of physical product that you can create as a mosaic artist. You can go and tap into the premium market and approach premium retailers to sell your product. You can actually go and pitch your designs and ideas into a volume retailer and license it. You can do workshops to teach other people how to create mosaics. It's not something everybody knows how to do. You can write books about it, ebooks about it, do training videos and courses about it. There are multiple income streams for one thing, rather than thinking, well, I create mosaics and I sell mosaics, which is the traditional route.
Right. That's deep. See, that's that's how I am. I can slice and dice it and figure out different revenue streams, because you need to have that.
Yeah.
You know, so you had a tragedy, you lost your husband.
I did.
And so what has that taught you about you?
It was at the, I mean, I met my husband 7 years ago, and honestly, I am better at picking staff than I am at picking husbands. I've had a history of not being very good there. And then I met this wonderful man 7 years ago. And when I met him, he said to me, I don't know how long we'll have. I've got this terrible disease, cystic fibrosis. I've had a double lung transplant, and you are given 6 years after a double lung transplant operation. And he was at year 9. So he was like a ticking time bomb. But you know, when you just know. So I said, you know what? It's quality, not quantity. Let's go for this and let's just live and enjoy. And that's what we did. And we had 7 wonderful years together. I lost him at the start of COVID last year, April last year, which was devastating. But the fact that we lived every day for 7 years really taught me something. It's like he was sent to me to teach me a lesson. And he was the one that pushed me back towards my creativity and said, stop talking about it and just do it. And he's the reason that I am now doing what I do. And since then, to honor him, I have continued to do what I do and grow it and scale it, because that's what he would have wanted.
Well, you're doing an incredible job, because I see you are, you know, running a business. You're also the mother of an autistic son that's very creative. Yep. And your daughter. Tell us a little bit about your children.
My daughter's 21. She's called Rebecca, and she's an amazing artist. But like most other creative children, she was advised down the academic route at school, and she didn't choose art subjects at A level. She ended up doing 3 completely different subjects, and that confused her for a couple of years. So she went off to uni and didn't like it in her first year. She started doing fashion and didn't like that. So she took a year out, and she's now going off to do a fine art degree because she's really found what it is she truly loves. My son is autistic, and because he's autistic, he's amazing with his detail, and he can create great cartoons and illustrations. So that's what he's doing at college at the moment. And I've encouraged them to choose their path and do what they truly love. And they've both ended up as creatives. I have not influenced them in any way. They've just chosen their path, which is nice. But children watch and see, don't they? They watch what you do.
My daughter is a creative. As you can see, she is a makeup artist and costume designer. And academia was not her forte, you know. She had a challenge learning to read and hearing sounds phonetically, and it just kind of turned her off. But then when it kicked in, now she'll read an 800-page book, then come up with something creative. She can transform herself from a bumblebee to a doctor to a witch. I mean, she just goes all over the place. And I really like that, because just like Einstein, you know, it's imagination.
Totally. And we've got to allow them to really flourish and not put them in a box, because there are too many boxes in society. I have no sides and no lid on my box. It's just, it's just me standing there, and I refuse to put any walls up. And I say the same to my children. You know, the expanse is never ending. You can do what you want.
Absolutely. And I say, you know, I don't think outside the box. I create my own. So definitely. I'm like you.
I'm with you.
Talking about creating boxes and spaces, you are about to buy a mini castle in Scotland. Now, I have it right here on my calendar. I'm coming. I'm coming. I don't paint, but no telling what I'll... Well, I do paint, you know, but it's nothing that I would, you know, put out to the public to try to sell. But you never know. Because it's not just about painting. It's about doing the deep dive and discovery. And with a little instruction and the right vibe and music and a glass of wine and the right conversation, oh my God, I could create a masterpiece. Tell us what you are creating for these women in Scotland.
Yeah, I certainly will. This is my passion project, my mission. So on my vision board for the last year, I have had a castle. I have wanted to buy, for no egotistical reason, I wanted to buy a castle in Scotland to bring people from around the world to do amazing creative retreats, transformative retreats. Now, obviously, there's a big price tag on that castle. And what happened was I decided in March of this year just to sell my house and move to Scotland and put myself in the place I wanted to be so that I could feel the goal deeper and hopefully get there a bit quicker. And the universe gave me a mini version of the castle that I had on my vision board. So I'm buying a 7-bedroom house in the west coast of Scotland and converting 3 of the rooms into retreat rooms. And these rooms are going to be themed around my 3 favorite artists, which is Monet, Picasso, and Van Gogh.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm doing a deep dive into the personality traits, the male, the masculine personality traits of these artists, and finding female artists to give me the feminine. Mm-hmm. And so that the work that we do through the retreat will not only be about creating, and you will be creating on the retreat, we will be painting and drawing and exploring creativity, but we'll also be diving deep into how creative you can be in so many different ways. So it's a really exciting project, and I can't wait to get people onto these retreats.
I can't wait either. I'm just so excited. My daughter went to Scotland, and she came back. She says, Mom, I want a cute little redhead and a Highland cow. I just told her, I said, well, we'll have to go visit Miss Mandy.
And we'll see what we can line up. Yeah.
So from a business perspective, mm-hmm. you know, this is a huge investment that mm-hmm. you're making. You know, this is not cheap. I mean, and we're just talking about the castle, but the landscaping around it, the maintenance around it, all of that. You know, and you're a risk taker. So you're not afraid of this. Talk to people about taking a risk and taking a chance on your dreams.
I think, you know, like one thing that I learned from my husband, Gary, was that life is too short. And, you know, you've got to roll the dice. What's the worst that can happen? 11 years ago, for me, I lost everything. I had a series of unfortunate events, and I went from having a six-figure career and the perfect idyllic family, you know, two children, two dogs, living in a farmhouse, 13-year marriage, to losing everything. And I ended up in social housing with £30 in my bank, with a single mum, just me, my kids and my dogs. Wow. And literally rock bottom. So where can you, you know, you can't go any lower than that. And really, I had a choice then, didn't I? Take risks, roll the dice, change your life, build it back up, or stay where you are. So that's where I learned, I suppose, to just go for my dreams and go for it. And in those 10 years, 11 years, I rebuilt my life, and I bought the house that I live in now for cash in 2019. This is why I've got, and you know, I'd built up savings, investment, pensions, and created £500,000 to buy the house that I live in now. So that's why I decided to sell it in March. I thought, well, I've got this asset. Let's just sell it and let's just go to Scotland and let's start. Let's take this stepping stone property and start and create the wealth for the castle. Let's just do it. You've got to, I think it's, I'm trying to think who said it now. One of the self-development gurus out there said that if you're not actually taking the stepping stones towards your big dream, you're not going to get there. You can't go from A to Z.
Right.
You've got to go from A to B to C to D and take the stepping stones towards Z. Otherwise, you'll never get there.
You'll never get there. Mm-hmm. And you have to, you know, you can't get stuck in your feelings. You've got to feel the fear and do it anyway.
Just go for it. Yeah. I know it sounds really easy to say.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying, because yeah. it's not. And there's a lot of people that are, you know, they need a safety net.
Yes, they do.
So what do we say to that person to make them feel comfortable about stepping into this unknown?
They're never going to feel comfortable. And it is a process. Having been at rock bottom and learned that, you know what, it can happen anytime. No matter where you are, no matter how much wealth you've got, it can happen anytime. And what was the worst that happened? Nothing really that bad happened. So therefore, why was I holding myself back? I needed to just go for it. And, you know, what is the worst that can happen? If you lose all your money, you're still going to have your friends and your family and the network that you've built. And, you know, you can start again. And it's, we are too attached to our material assets and needs. And I think really all we need is each other.
Exactly. You know, COVID was the perfect pause.
Yep.
For it everyone was. Around the world. Mm-hmm. We had to stop. We had to do some self-reflection. We mm-hmm. had to pivot. Again, we had to get stuck in those feelings.
Yep.
What did that time of solitude teach you?
It taught me a lot about the world. I watched very intently, obviously from a place of grief myself, and watched people experiencing grief for different reasons and experiencing hurt. And it made me realize not only the importance of those that are around us, but how fickle we were before and how much we attached ourselves to wealth and material things. Because when it came down to it, when we were stuck in the house with people and not allowed to go and see other people, we've survived. We found ways of connecting through technology that we weren't using as often before. We are very adept. I think it's Darwin said, you know, it's not the strongest of the species that survives. It's the one that's most adaptable to change. And we've adapted to change.
And we've uncovered so yep. many things. I mean, just think of all the parents that didn't know that little person that was living with them. I mean, now they're homeschooling them. Yep. Or the woman that had the tight pencil skirt and the red bottom shoes, and now she's at home with the sweatpants and the bun.
Yeah.
Or the, you know, or the husband that didn't even recognize the wife and mm-hmm. all that she contributed to the household. So there was a lot that was uncovered there.
Yeah.
Moving forward, where do you see yourself?
I see myself as really marching over the border, literally with that white flag saying, come with me, creative women. I want to be a trailblazer. I want to be the person that these women feel that they can come to. And that is starting to happen. My network is growing and people are coming to me on a regular basis. Now they see me as the expert. That's the role I want to take over the border. And I want to take these thousands of women with me that believe in themselves. So I see myself as the creative genius consultant.
Wow. I love that. You know, very matter-of-factly. And that's how I look at my life too. I know who I am. I'm comfortable in this space. It does take work. It does yep. take courage. And there is an element of fear, but you know, this also is exhilarating. It's exciting yep. because when you see the end result, you say, wow, I accomplished that. You know, I did this and it's all right. You know, it is absolutely all right.
I have a responsibility as a mother to leave a legacy to my children, for them to know that they can take on the world and win no matter what they do. And I take that responsibility very, very seriously.
Yeah. Well, you are a brilliant woman. I love you. And I can't wait to come to the retreat. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Mandy. If they want to purchase some art that you have available now or in the future, how do they get in contact with you?
Well, you can find me, the easiest way is find me on my website, which is mandynicholson.co.uk. And you can find me everywhere on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook as Mandy Nicholson or The Creative Genius Consultant. You'll find me under one or more of those tags. So if you Google me, I'm sure I come up on all of those places.
All right. Well, we're definitely going to look for you and I'm going to put all your information down at the bottom. Brains, I need you to dig into your creative soul. Everybody has creativity. It could be music. It could be art. It could be cooking. It could be caring. It could be sharing. But don't deny yourself the opportunity to grow and to expand and also make some money at it, working with great people like my guest, Mandy Nicholson. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge. Brains, I need you to go to you. Brains, I need you to go and subscribe, share, because sharing is caring. Like, love on all the major platforms, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are all over the planet, and we hope to be in Scotland real soon. Thanks, Mandy. Come on back. Let me know how it goes.
Okay, I will do. Thank you.
Bye-bye.